Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 91, and it's a Monday, April 16th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay news, geek stores, and bizarre topics. And tomorrow is tax day. It's April 17th. Have you done your taxes, Ray?
Tax has been done, got the refund, and already spent.
Already?
Already. Bills had to be paid. Tires had to be bought.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's what you use tax refunds for things that you really need to keep you for the next refund.
I really need a new big screen TV, but I can't afford one. So.
Oh, really? You can't right now?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
One day.
And, well, let me see. Let's do some weekend updates. What did you do? You're sick? What's wrong with you, Ray? You didn't sound sick yesterday.
I don't know. Well, I was sick with allergies all day Saturday, and I wasn't feeling too good Sunday either, but I'm still kind of yucky, but I got over it. I just sat around the house there, didn't do too much. So
I see. Okay, so last weekend, what did we see? Oh, we got to see some friends. A friend of ours who is from Montreal. You know, remember Hans?
I saw a picture of Hans today on Facebook.
Yeah, that's right.
He's getting gray. He's getting gray like me.
I know, right? He's a bear now. Anyway, so we met up with him at one of the restaurants. We went with our friends Shoram and Jaime and a couple of more friends, and they invited us over, and it was good to see him. Last time we saw him was on our wedding, our honeymoon in Montreal. Well, we went to Quebec and then to Montreal. But yeah, so it's interesting to see him after 6 years. So we got to catch up and everything, so it was good. Yeah, you knew him before. Anyway, so what else happened?
Well, I finally, you know, our friend Julio keeps talking about the Germans.
The Germans, that's right.
Yes, and he refers to the Germans. He works at like a boys' boot camp. And the boys' boot camp import young Germans over to help work at the camp and help do stuff. They're basically free labor. And in Germany, you have to do so much volunteer work by a certain time. So a lot of the kids come over, well, they're not kids, they're in their 20s, come over here to the States to do volunteer work with different organizations. And he works in one of those organizations, so he's always talking about hanging out with the Germans, doing stuff with the Germans. But none of the rest of us have ever been invited to meet the Germans.
No, that's right.
Well, this weekend, I got the privilege to meet the Germans.
The Germans. Are they cute?
So I got to meet two of them. They're very cute young men. So, they were all, you know, pretty. They're fun to talk to and stuff. We had had dinner with them, and then I went, and the whole reason I got invited over is because Julio wanted to put his desk together, his new desk he bought. And there was a piece of it from IKEA that I had to put together for him. So
that's
the whole reason I got invited over. It wasn't just because the Germans were in town; it's because he wanted something.
I see. So that's what it did.
Yeah. So, but I got to meet the Germans finally.
Are there any bears? Any German bears?
Well, I think there's one, but he wasn't there that night. They were going to pick him up later. He was flying in from Chicago.
Ah, met up with bear friends in Chicago, probably.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. So. Mm-hmm. And then my best friend forced me to go to this damn softball fundraiser on Sunday.
Well, you had a drink. You had fun. You hung out with my teammates. That's awesome. And I promise you that you're not going to win any 50-50 raffle.
I got to hang out with Alfredo and Scott, so that was nice to see them. Mm-hmm. And no, I did not win the 50-50 raffle, even though I needed it. I was thinking I can win the 50-50 raffle, and then for my birthday present to myself, I can go buy me a new TV.
But
did it happen? No, because Maynard sold me the wrong ticket.
Well, I guess the universe didn't want you to win. Oh, speaking of yesterday, about the softball fundraiser, yesterday we won all our games yesterday.
Well, Maynard, you won one because they didn't have enough people to play one of the
games. That's right. What can we do if the other team did not show up? Well, they did show up, but they don't have enough people, so they can't play. And then the second game was, we won that one. So I was happy about that. We won that fair and square. So that's pretty much our weekend update. And like I said, tomorrow, April 17 is the it's tax day for 2018.
Have you started watching the new Lost in Space on Netflix yet?
No. You've seen it, right? How is it?
Yes, I binge watched it Friday night and Saturday. Since I was here sick, I didn't do anything but binge watch Lost in Space, the Netflix version. And I liked it a lot. I really liked it. The cast is great. There was one little thing that I had an issue with.
Oh, what?
There's this whole gig, kind of one of the first couple episodes, that Maureen Robertson, the mom, who in this show is kick-ass. She's not sitting there cooking dinner for everybody. She's like an astrophysicist. And she up designed the Jupiter and a bunch of other stuff. And the whole thing about being on there, you know, they had weight limits of what they could bring personal items with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I get that. Only get to bring so much. And then, in the middle of the series, she's sitting down on her bed writing on paper.
Oh, yeah, that's right. that's your beef.
And I'm like, why are you writing on paper? I mean, this is set 50, 60 years in the future, well, maybe 40 years in the future, 50 years in the future, and you have tablets. Why? And, you know, I mean, you got these whole, like, iPhones on your arm that does everything, but you don't have a tablet to sit here and do all these calculations with, and you're doing it by hand on paper, which I knew they did it for dramatic effect, but I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
With the amount of paper you brought, you could have bought two more packs of Oreos with you.
Yeah. So we wasted a lot of space just to bring...
So that was my one thing that I got PO'd about. I was just like, come on now. We're talking Oreos here.
You should really post about it on Facebook and talk about
it. I did.
You did? Okay.
I did. So nobody responded.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that. I think I did read that, yeah. Anyway, so shall we do our stories? Would you like to take this, Ray? It's about masturbation. That's why I think you would like this.
Why do you think I masturbate? I'm celibate.
Right.
All right, we talked about this story a couple months ago, I think.
I did. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Because it stepped a little bit further. So
it's in Texas. Of course we talked about it. Yeah.
So our first gay this week is Texas bill prohibiting male masturbation moves closer to becoming a law. I'm so going to jail. A proposed bill in Texas that would impose a fine for male masturbation is making its way through the state's legislature. House Bill 4260, called the Man's Right to Know Act, would punish male masturbation with a $100 fine and require men who want Viagra to be subject to a rectal exam. The bill, filed earlier this year by Texas Legislator Representative Jessica Farrar, Democrat, was referred to the House Senate Affairs Committee on Tuesday. By focusing on male masturbation, the proposed legislation is an obvious attempt to satire and draw attention to the unreasonable and dangerous policy proposals concerning women's reproductive freedom coming from the Republican Party. Commenting on her bill, Rep. Farrar told MySanAntonio.com, "A lot of people find the bill funny. What's not funny are the obstacles that Texas women face every day, that were placed there by legislatures, making it very difficult for them to access health care." Far as a vocal abortion rights activist with long record of opposing legislation in Texas hostile to women's reproductive freedom. Earlier this week, former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton praised Farrar on promoting the proposed new legislation. After praising Farrar while speaking to an Annie's List luncheon at the Houston on Friday, Clinton opinion. "I don't know, the bill may be satirical, but the message sure resonated.
Resonated.
Resonated, excuse me. I'm about to choke you. Bottom line, turnabout is fair play. By focusing on male masturbation, House Bill 4620 demonstrates the absurdity and cruelty of the constant and ongoing efforts by Republicans to demean and stigmatize women in their pursuit of reproductive health care."
So it's going to be interesting if this, that, you know, it does sound satirical, but if it pulls through and if it becomes popular, it becomes a bill, then yeah. It's not enforceable, of course not. But
well, yes, it is. If you get caught masturbating, it's enforceable.
Well, no, it's it can't. It's not enforceable.
How can it be? If a cop walks up on you and you're masturbating, it can be enforced.
If you're masturbating in what do you call this? If you're masturbating in public, yes. Well, you get for lewdness or lewd behavior, you get.
Yeah, but they can fine you another $100 just for masturbating.
At home?
Well, if they catch you.
Yeah, still no. Remember the Obergefell? That's what happened to the sodomy law.
Yeah, but that was the sodomy law. This is the masturbation law in Texas.
But it boils down...
If you're found to be masturbating, you can be fined if this bill passes.
That's right.
And you have to go through this whole procedure, which we outlined in the original story, of all the stuff you have to do when you get caught masturbating.
I don't know, Ray, but I understand. I understand what you're saying. I understand the bill. But it's not enforceable.
I advise you to quit masturbating at work in the bathroom stalls and in your car in the parks.
I don't do those things anyway. I masturbate at home. Good.
Oh, so you just admitted to the world that you masturbate at home. So now they can come to your house and know that you've been masturbating.
No, they can't because it's...
Yes, they can.
It's like Obergefell. And
Trump says they can. The government can do whatever it wants to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, it's you're not, here to support the 1%.
Let me finish my thought. It's not enforceable because it's like the... what is it? The Obergefell case, remember? That's the...
Yeah, but that's a different case.
No. Let me finish.
Every case is different.
Yeah, let me finish. Yeah, what's going to happen is if this goes through, it becomes law through bill, of course, and it's not, and like I said, it's not enforceable. And for a cop to catch you in your own home that you're masturbating, then you get arrested for that. It's the same as what happened to...
Well, it didn't say anything about getting arrested. It says you get fined.
You get fined. But yeah, but that can still be... Be over, you know, there's going to be a lawsuit the same way as Obergefell. What happened back then was...
Well, yeah, but that's got to happen first.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, so somebody needs to get caught, and then it will fall down, it will fall because of, privacy concerns, because whatever, that's what happened to the two guys who were fucking in their house. Somebody, they barged in the house, and then they saw them, you know, committing sodomy. And they were arrested, but then they were released because the charges were dropped because it's not really enforceable, even though they say it's a law. So that's why it's
It was enforceable because they got arrested and they had to take the case to the Supreme Court to get it to pass.
And wasn't it overturned? The sodomy laws were overturned.
The sodomy laws were overturned, but it had to go to Supreme Court. And those sodomy laws had been on the books for years.
Yeah. So this would just be another one of those. It's just that, like it was meant to be.
Yeah, but think how many men could be fined $100 in that time until somebody sues the government over it, and it gets taken to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, let's wait for that. If that happens, then there's going to be more awareness of it. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's go to the next story. Straight guy shocked at what goes on Equinox steam room during lunch hour. There we go again, Ray. Masturbating during lunch hours from Queerty.com. A New York gym goer was in for the surprise of a lifetime when he realized that an activity other than sitting, sweating was going down in the steam room during his lunch break. And he's taking his story where it belongs, the Manhattan Supreme Court. And the way he tells it, you'd think he was the first person on earth to witness such an egregious act. I'm relaxing, I'm sitting in the corner, it's very meditative, he said of the mood in the steam room of the Equinox on Broadway on Gramercy Park as he got settled. The steam clears and I look across me, this gentleman... Sitting pretty close, his towel is open, his legs are spread, and he's looking right at me. And the guy next to him was rubbing the man's inner thigh, the so-called victim told the Post. He's looking right at me. His towel's off, and he's masturbating, he added.
Not in Texas. He's going to get fined.
Well, not yet. It's not yet a bill. So he noticed a third man allegedly looking at him while touching himself. And where's this story going? Here's where his story goes from, okay, yeah, that's understandably uncomfortable, to, wait, what are you really getting at here? I thought, no escape, I'm going to be sexually assaulted. He recalls thinking just before fleeing. Maybe he was offended because nobody wanted him. So that's quite the leap, and it's not shocking that the staff didn't share quite the same sense of urgency when he told them the story at the front desk. According to his suit, from before the Manhattan Supreme Court filing against the fitness chain, Equinox had known for as much as 10 years prior that similar wrongful acts were occurring in its steam showers. However true that might be, we still bet that the man was in no danger of being sexually harassed, but we'll have to wait and see what the judge has to say. The gym's official stance is exactly what you expect every gym's stance to be. We maintain a zero-tolerance policy for any inappropriate behavior in our clubs, an official spokesperson for Equinox told the Post. Enforcement, however, is a whole story. A whole other story, I mean. The straight single dad is reportedly shaken up. Really? I mean, I think he's just overreacting. And
well, you know, some people, they're idiots, and they don't think stuff like that goes on at gyms. Because I know the gym I go to over here, there's a lot of cruising in there. I mean, there's one little dude that walks in all the time, and he's got his underwear on, and he sits there and keeps diddling himself while he's his junk while everybody's watching. And he's got sunglasses on in the steam room. Now, come on now.
Really?
Come on.
And I've seen people, you know, really wash really hard, about 10 minutes washing the same area in the shower room, and sir, it's clean already. You are clean already. You're fine. But he's really just playing with himself.
You should have went there and helped him out, man. That could have got it cleaner a lot sooner.
Probably not. I don't think so. Anyway, so yeah. Good. What is he thinking? What was he thinking? Okay, let's go to the geek ray.
Okay, our first geek. Apple's stumbling HomePod isn't the hot seller it wanted it to be. It wanted. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. My allergy is killing me. When Apple Inc.'s HomePod smart speaker went on sale in January, it entered a market pioneered and dominated by Amazon's Echo lineup of Alexa-powered devices. Apple has been touting the HomePod's superior sound quality, but so far hasn't enticed many consumers to part with the $349. By late March, Apple has lowered the sales forecast and cut some orders with Invitech Corp., one of the manufacturers that builds the HomePod for Apple, according to a person familiar with the matter. At first, it looked like the HomePod might be a hit. Pre-orders were strong, and in the last week of January, the device grabbed about a third of the U.S. smart speaker market in unit sales, according to the data provided to Bloomberg by Slice Intelligence. But the time HomePods arrived in the store, sales were tanking, says Slice principal analyst Ken Cesar. Even when the people had the ability to hear these things, he says, it still didn't give Apple another spike. Apple had the opportunity to put the HomePod at the center of a new ecosystem of smart home and other gadgets that aren't glued to the iPhone, but the small wireless speaker was not that product. Though the HomePod delivers market-leading audio quality, consumers have discovered it's heavily dependent on the iPhone and is limited to as a digital assistant. Veteran Apple analyst Shannon Cross says consumers assume the HomePod would be able to do many things the Echo and Google Home can do, answering questions, ordering pizzas, and much more. Instead, the HomePod is mostly limited to playing tunes from Apple Music, controlling a limited number of Apple-optimized smart home appliances, and sending messages through an iPhone. That's a serious disincentive, Cross says, because the Apple speaker costs $200 more than most smart speakers. Despite having all the ingredients to become a serious competitor in the Echo, including Siri and the App Store, Apple never saw the HomePod as anything more than an accessory, like the AirPods earphones, according to people who worked on the product. When the Echo debuted 4 years ago, as Apple engineers were tolling away on early versions of the HomePod, their bosses continued to see the product as a high-quality speaker rather than a voice-controlled digital assistant for the home. To make matters worse, the device missed its December release date, meaning the HomePod wasn't available during the pivotal holiday shopping season, when smart speakers were among the most sought-after products. So yet again, Apple's missed the ball.
They're not innovating. I mean, Apple is...
They're not innovating anymore. I mean, it's like you still got to use... I mean, you bought me the LEXA pod, or whatever it's called. What's it called?
Amazon Echo.
The Echo, yeah. For Christmas last year. I come home, I set it up, I went and bought a couple of accessories, and I can cut on lights and cut lights off and stuff like that for a couple of different things around the house, and I'm set. I didn't need to do anything else. I didn't need to have my phone there to do anything. I had to download an app to do some initial programming with Alexa on my phone, but once that was done, it was set up and done.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had to touch it since.
Yeah. And this Apple one, it's you still need the phone, and they're really talking it like a speaker. It's really it's a fancy speaker.
It's a fancy speaker. And I mean, like, who wants a damn fancy speaker? I can go get a
A cheaper one.
Yeah. A cheap Bluetooth speaker that, you know, if something happens to it, I ain't too worried about it. But like all Apple products, it's way overpriced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't do what it needs to do.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I'm just really getting kind of disappointed with what Apple lately.
Oh, they really are. They're not innovating anymore, especially the only thing. But let's just put it this way, though. They're not pioneers anymore. They do not.
They're not.
They do not innovate. But when they copy, they do it well. Fine. The speakers, they must sound great, but it's too late in the game for it to be. It's not even a good digital assistant. It's only Siri. That's the only thing you can do, and I don't think it even controls your TV or anything. Yeah. And it's really limited in what it can do, and it's just really limited. But it's again, it's around but only like, the Apple. It's only Apple products. You can't even use Android devices for this.
Yeah. And like my Alexa,
your Amazon Echo.
We have fun with it because we, you know, like tell us a joke. What's the weather today? What's the news today?
Yeah.
You know, and I've kind of got comfortable with that. The only thing I'm not comfortable with is now that they're saying Amazon's going to start listening in, and people they hear people coughing, they're going to start recommending stuff to buy through Amazon for Kohl's and stuff, and they hear people crying and different things. They're going to start selling that information.
Where did you hear that?
They were talking about it on, what were they talking about it on yesterday? I read it in an article.
Sounds very exaggerated, but
maybe. I thought maybe I posted it on the Gay Geek Bazaar. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I read it and got interrupted and didn't go back to post it. But I'll go look and see if I can find it and repost it if I didn't. So,
well,
they were talking about they were talking about it on the radio. That's why it's not posted. They were talking about, you know, with the whole Facebook thing, selling all the people's data and stuff, that, well, here's the deal with Amazon and what they're going to do with the Echoes and their stuff. So, interesting. Yep.
Now, we'll see if that happens, but I don't think they will. If they do, there's going to be some lawsuits that's going to happen. Anyway, so disclosure, just a disclaimer to all of our listeners there. Ray and I are using iPhones. Yeah, we do. But yeah. Full disclosure, I do use iPhones, but I have an Android also. But my iPhone, I use it. It's good for messaging and things like that. But when it comes to anything Apple services, like iCloud, I don't use iCloud. I only use reminders. That's the only thing I use with Apple. But anything other than that, iCloud or photos and stuff like that, I don't. I still use Google for backups. I use Amazon for backup, and those are the my cloud services that I use. I don't pay for anything Apple after that. Right. So, do you use iCloud?
I do use iCloud, and I also use Google Photos. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you might. You don't need to use.
That's just because I'm lazy and I don't want to go delete and move stuff and clean this crap up. I just let it back it up. So I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, see, but you can do that with Google Photos iCloud.
It's not that expensive, so I'm like, okay, I don't mind paying that little bit of money every year.
No, save some more. Just use Google Photos, and then that's it. It's free. Okay. All right. So let's go to the. Now, next story, it's another geek. It's actually Google. So, Ray, do you go to the web interface all the time for the Gmail website to check your mail?
Yep, pretty much.
Pretty much you do that every day.
I mean, right? I got the app loaded on my phone, so I either use that or if I'm at work, I just click.
Yeah, I just use the mail on my phone or the, like you said, just use the mail app, Gmail, on the phone. But, yeah, it that's good. But then this is going to be a web redesign. It's a story about the website itself. I'm still waiting for it to kick in. Maybe I'd use the web UI more. So Google sent an email to G Suite customers to tell them that the company has been working on a brand new version of Gmail for the web. In addition to a fresh design, the company also listed some of the new features. You can expect to be able to access Google Calendar from the Gmail interface directly. Outlook customers are probably going to love this. Yes, I like Outlook a lot. Outlook is pretty good. You'll be able to snooze emails so that they appear in your inbox hours or days later. This is a good way to clean your inbox if you can't reply to a specific email just yet. If you use Gmail on your phone or Android, you may already be using Smart Replies. These are algorithmically generated replies will also be available on Gmail. Oh, that's nice. Finally, Google is working on a new way to store your emails on your computer for offline access. As the company is slowly phasing out Chrome apps, Google will now be using standard web technologies to let your browser store your data. Oh, that's nice. Google has yet to share screenshots of the new design. Gmail's web interface isn't changed in years, so you can probably expect a new interface that follows Google's material design language. So here's an update. A Google spokesperson has provided the following statement, emphasis on included, okay? We're working on some major updates to Gmail. They're still in this draft phase. We need a bit more time to compose ourselves, and so I can't share anything yet. Archive this for now, and we'll let you know when it's time to hit send. That's interesting. Okay, so that's the story for Gmail. We're gonna have an upgrade, and I'm looking forward to its looks, to how it will look like. Because you know the Gmail interface has been very simple. It's been the same one for many, many years, and I think it has.
But that's what I kind of like about it. I like some of the simplistic design of it.
Yeah, but who knows?
It's not hard to use.
That's the point, though. Maybe we're still waiting for it. That it could be another kind of simplistic design. So that's what they do. They like keeping things simple. But it might be even simpler than how it is right now. Yeah. And it's a very good email provider.
As long as I can get rid of Google Drive, I'm okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what's for free for. Yeah. All right, Ray, let's go to the bizarre. This is the bizarre. It's kind of gay, too, but it's bizarre.
Yeah, but it's bizarre that this is happening. And then we'll talk about this after I read the article.
All right.
Pride Parade bans drag queens over fears they'll offend trans people. Free Pride Glasgow, which bills itself as among a non-commercial and more open-minded alternative to the traditional Glasgow LGBT Pride events, is taking drastic steps to prevent the oppression of marginalized peoples, banning drag queens from its annual parade. After extensive consideration, the Free Pride Glasgow committee members decided that having men dressed as women giving stellar performances during the event would be offensive to transgender individuals, and that non-binary people within their ranks would be uncomfortable with having drag performances. They'll miss the feather boas and the glitzy footwear, but the needs of the most marginalized groups within our community come first, the group told the Independent. It was felt that drag performance would make some of those who were transgendered or questioning their gender uncomfortable. It was felt by the group within the trans non-binary caucus that some drag performance, particularly cis drag, hinges on the social view of gender and making it into a joke. However, transgender individuals do not feel as though the gender identity is a joke. Free Pride Glasgow said in a release statement, the decision was notably unpopular with famous drag queens, many of them who took to social media to suggest Free Pride Glasgow was drawing unnecessary and offensive distinctions of its own. Several pride organizations chimed in to say that they, too, had considered banning drag queens over the concerns that they make a mockery of the notion of gender fluidity, but ultimately decided to keep the offensive and marginalizing performers out of the inclusion. So this is what gets me. Drag queens have been around forever.
And they are also the reason for Stonewall in New York.
Stonewall.
Because these are the drag queens that threw rocks at the police because
it's the drag queens that started this. And I understand that people that are going through gender identity issues might have some issues with this. But it's also like me saying, I'm scared of clowns, so there should never be clowns at anything.
Yeah. Well, similar to that, yeah. And what's happening also with, let's say, RuPaul's drag race?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are they offended by that too?
Well, there was a big whole thing about her shemale stuff that a lot of transgender people got offended by that. So they've changed some of the stuff on the show about it, and RuPaul kind of went off on them about it, but they've kind of let that lie now for a while, for a year or two. But
yeah,
I think that we all need to understand that the gay community. Well, I mean, it's hard. I sit here and say this, and I know we still have different, I guess, prejudices against other gay people. Mm-hmm. But we also need to understand that as a community that we all understand that everybody has its place and time and they all deserve the right to be seen and heard. And, you know, if you want to put on a dress and work your ass off and make money for the community or be a professional drag queen as a imitator of a diva or something, I say go for it. But also understand that if you're not comfortable with that, that you also need to, like, look, this is part of our community. I don't have to sit in here, go to drag shows. They float by on a parade for 10 minutes and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. So.
Also, yeah. Oh, by the way, so last year we were in Glasgow. We went to Scotland last year and we got to see Glasgow, and it's a very conservative city. It's very laid back. It's a nice, quiet town. There was only two gay bars we went to, but I don't know. Maybe the commuter is very, very close to
yeah, but I don't think this is the official Pride Glasgow. I think this is the Free Pride Glasgow. I think mm-hmm. they do two prides here in Glasgow, because there's one that I think's organized, and then there's this one that's, you know, it's not. They don't go out and seek money to do it or anything like that. It's like, and everybody gets to come to it for free. So,
yeah. Okay. Anyway, so what else do we have here? Oh, we have another story. Extra glass of wine a day will shorten your life by 30 minutes. Ray, you're not a wine drinker, are you?
Not really.
But you would once in a while, right? Just maybe a sip or there, sip or something. Mm-hmm. Once in a while. Yeah, you've always been a screwdriver kind of guy. So, drinking will shorten your life, according to a study that suggests every glass of wine or pint of beer over the daily recommended limit will cut half of an hour from the expected lifespan of a 40-year-old. Oh my God. So you shouldn't drink too much. Those who think a glass of red wine every evening will help keep the heart healthy will be dismayed. The paper, published in the Lancet Medical Journal, says five standard 175 ml glass of wine or five pints a week is the upper safe limit, about 100 grams of alcohol or 12.5 units in total. More than that raises the risk of stroke, fatal aneurysm or ruptured artery in the chest, heart failure, and death. God, this is morbid. So the risks for a 40-year-old of drinking over the recommended daily limit were comparable to smoking, and one leading scientist. Above 2 units a day, that the death rates steadily climb, said David Spiegelhalter, Winton professor for the public understanding of risk at the University of Cambridge. The paper estimates a 40-year-old drinking 4 units a day above the guidelines, the equivalent of drinking 3 glasses of wine in a night, has roughly 2 years lower life expectancy, which is around a 20th of their remaining life. This works out at about an hour per day, so it's as if each unit above guidelines is taking an average about 15 minutes of life, about the same as a cigarette. Of course, it's up to the individuals whether they think that it is worthwhile. There is still a small benefit to drinking, which has been much flagged in the past. It does reduce the chance of non-fatal heart attack. See, Ray, it's kind of contradicting these studies. But said Dr. Angela Wood from the University of Cambridge, lead author of the study, this must be balanced against the higher risk associated with other serious and potential fatal cardiovascular diseases. So, should I continue with this? It's pretty much what it says, that it's drinking wine. It is known to be good for everyone to drink every night. But this study just shows that, you know, it will shorten your life.
Well, it all depends. It all depends on who the study was paid by. Did the wine people pay for that study? I mean, remember when eggs used to be bad for you and. Like the egg industry about went under because they did this whole thing. Oh, egg, the cholesterol in eggs is too bad for you, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, nobody's buying eggs. Yeah.
In fact, there are 0 points in Weight Watchers. There's 0 points now, eggs. There used to be a point for that. But now they consider it a protein source. And the things change. I mean, studies change.
And what they're saying here is that, look, you can drink, but if you overindulge, it's going to affect your life, man. It's like everything. You got to do it in moderation.
Just like masturbating, right?
Well, no, you get fined for that in Texas. if you have a glass of wine a night, that's fine. If you have 2 glasses of wine a night, that's okay. But if you have a whole bottle of wine every night, you're going to affect your lifespan. Just like if you smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
Well, it did say even... more than 2 glasses of wine. Is that right? according to this 175
Yeah, it all depends. It all depends on the amount of alcohol and the stuff. And I don't know if they went in and did the breakdown of the liquor. I think further in the story that you didn't read, they talked about the liquor. But so it's all about moderation. If you're, and you can tell people who drink a lot. Hell, they look like they're 50 before they're 35. So yep. We have several people that we saw yesterday at the bar like that.
Oh yeah. I saw a lot of people at the bar.
So it's like people that smoke. Their skin gets all leathery looking, and that makes them look older.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Exactly. Which reminds me about last night. I would like to thank people who came over to Tony's Corner Pocket to support the wave. Woo-hoo! So, yeah, we earned about $2,300 as our fundraising. So that's pretty good for a... for a, you know, for a group for funder, for, you know, raising our funds.
So Maynard, who won the 50-50 raffle?
Actually, the bar, Tony, the owner of Tony's Corner Pocket, and he gave it back.
Interesting.
Yes,
that sounds like that was staged.
That was staged.
Yes.
It was staged, probably. People on the stage. All right, I guess that's our show. Thank you everyone for listening. If you special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you have to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voice message at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, that's right. And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.